Morning, I'll be reading Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God.
Imagine what it must have been like seeing a bush burn but not be consumed. And I mean, that's the bush that Moses saw. He sees it in the distance. He's amazed by it. And he says, I got to go see that. I mean, would that have been worth going out of your way to see a bush burning, blazing with fire, but not burning up? I think it'd be worth it if that was the only reason. But that wasn't. There was something else there. I remember one Sunday, we were leaving our morning appointment. Faye and I was with me. Faye was with me, and we were leaving. We were in northeast Alabama at Bryant, Alabama. I mean, that's almost in Georgia and almost in Tennessee. You can't hardly go any further. And that's where we were that morning, and then I had an evening appointment some distance away. And so we were going to have to travel and get there. Well, we saw this billowing black smoke off the road over there, off to the left, and I was so curious about it, it got the best of me. I had to go see what was going on, and it was an old abandoned house that was burning down, and there were fire trucks there, but they were just letting it burn because there was nothing to save, and it was totally engulfed. But I mean, that smoke got my attention. I wanted to see what that was like, see what that was. Well, that's exactly the way it was with Moses. He sees this bush burning, and he says, I got to go see what's going on. He had to go see that fire. But there was more than just a strange sight to him, because when Moses got there, he found God. God was there. God was doing this to get his attention. I want you to remember that phrase. God was doing this to get his attention. When Elijah was hiding from Jezebel after his incredible battle on Mount Carmel, 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Ashtaroth, all put to death. And he's victorious, and the people are going, wow, this guy is he's the messenger of God, and he's a prophet of God, and we better not mess with him. But old Jezebel, she didn't get that message. And so she said to him, if you are, let God do to me what has happened to all these if you're still alive by tomorrow. She was saying, you're dead, man. Well, Elijah got serious about Jezebel. He was scared of that woman. Now, he wasn't scared of 950 men, but he was scared of one woman. There's a message there. He ran for his life, ran to the hills, and he's hiding up there. And God says, look, take a rest. Here's some food. Here's some drink. Take a rest. And then God sent a loud thunder. He sent a strong wind. He sent the lightning. He sent an earthquake. And God was not in any of those. And then there was a still small voice, and God was there. God was there. God was getting his attention. God does things to get our attention. He wants us to know what's going on. He wants us to meet with him. And that's really what we're talking about this morning. I want to talk about finding God. And when we come together for worship every Sunday, or as we sometimes say, every Lord's Day, there is the possibility that it could be a burning bush experience anytime we come together to worship God. There could be a burning bush moment where God is trying to get our attention, where he's trying to get something through to us. Let me tell you why I say that. Number one, when we come together to worship, God is here meeting our needs. God is present with us, meeting our needs. When we come into the presence of God, you know, we may not know it when we arrive. We may not even expect it when we come to church. And Moses certainly didn't expect it. He just sees a bush burning. He's just going to see something. But when he gets there, he encounters God. Something wonderful has happened. There's no way he could have expected that. But something wonderful happened, and at the same time, something frightening, something terrifying. God met him at the point of his need. Let me ask you something. Do you think Moses was in the desert because that was his lifelong dream? Huh? Do you think he was there tending sheep because that's what he always wanted to do? Moses, what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to be a shepherd tending a bunch of rebellious, stubborn sheep out in the desert and living in a tent. That's what I want to do. That's something, isn't it? That was not what he intended to do. This was not his dream. His life had been derailed. He thought when he found out that he was a child of Israel, when he was one of the Hebrews, he thought in his position as the grandson of Pharaoh that he would be in a position to set these people free. He thought he would deliver them. And he found out that was not God's plan at all for Moses to deliver them. I want you to understand what I'm saying. It was never God's plan for Moses to deliver the children of Israel. We need to get that in our heads. Moses thought that was what God wanted him to do. So he tried to do it, and he failed. And a death sentence was passed on him. And he had to get out of town. And he went running for his life in a self-imposed exile. And he was out there for 40 years. Do you reckon he kind of gave up on his hopes and dreams? Do you reckon he thought, what is there left for me to do? Sort of like when Peter had denied the Lord. And he said, I'm going fishing. Peter was not just going to catch a bass or two. He was going back to his old job. Because he evidently figured, there's nothing for me here. The Lord is risen, but he doesn't want me. I denied him. There is no place for me here. Peter tried to save Jesus on his own. He failed. And then he was told, you'll deny me. I'll never deny you. Yeah, you'll deny me three times. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my old job. Moses, I'm sure, had just given up. 40 years, man. He has wandered around tending these sheep. He is no longer in Egypt. He's not in the high court. He is not in the court of Pharaoh. He's not eating the fine food and living the high life like he lived before. His life has been completely derailed. He was hiding and running and trying to make the best of a broken life because he tried to do it by himself. He tried to deliver the children of Israel by himself. But the day he turned aside and met God, all of that changed. God was there to bring healing and hope to Moses' weary spirit. And you know what? God is here today to do the same thing for you and me. He's here today to bring hope to broken spirits. He's here to bring healing to sick, faint-hearted, hopeless individuals. God is here to help us and to meet our needs. The word religion has an interesting origin. The actual word religion came from the Latin word legare or legare, which means to bind, to tie. And so re-legare means to bind again, to connect what has become disconnected, to restore what has been lost, to mend that which has been broken, to heal what has been wounded. That's the meaning of religion in its best sense. That's what it means, to bind together again. And that's what God does with us. And every Sunday when we come together to worship and we remember what Jesus did for us, it rebinds us to our Lord. We're bound again to the crucifixion, to his sacrifice for us. We're bound again in that commitment that we make to be God's people, to change our lives, to become what God wants us to become. We are bound again. That's what religion is. Later this year, on Sunday nights, I'm going to do a series of lessons that I'm going to call Give Me That Old Time Religion. And on these Sunday nights, this is going to be a time for you to bring your friends that you've been wanting to come to church. Those that are not members of the church. It's going to be an old-fashioned revival, an old-fashioned gospel meeting. And there's going to be charts, and there's going to be PowerPoint every week, every Sunday night, and there's going to be graphics. But it's the point of it is it's going to be old-fashioned preaching that's not going to embarrass or humiliate, but it's going to be designed to help people find God, to help people come to God. I'll give you plenty of notice about this, but this will be something, a time for us to try to bring as many non-Christians as we can. People that we've been worried about and concerned about and trying to figure out, how can I talk to this person? What can I say to help this person understand what we have here at Tanner Church of Christ? And so this will be an opportunity for that. But God is calling us together to mend our broken lives. And when we come into the presence of God Sunday after Sunday, the Lord's Day by every Lord's Day, we experience some things that we desperately need. And I know that we're not worshiping as an audience. We are the performers. I understand that. And we're still here meeting God when we worship. And that's always going to bring a blessing to us. When we meet God here, when we worship God here, God is always going to bless us. Always. Every time we're going to receive a blessing, even though we're the ones that are performing the worship. God still blesses us. Paul Tillich, a big-time theologian from the last century, he contended that the major problem faced by modern man is alienation, being cut off, being separated. He goes on to say, we are alienated from God, from others, and from ourselves. And it is true, isn't it? I mean, if we look within, if we look deeply within, that's what we find. Many times we feel like we're alone and isolated, even in a crowd. Nobody really knows me. Nobody really understands. Don't we feel that way? I know we don't always feel that way, but there are times when I feel that way. And I'm sure I'm not alone in this. Of course, we don't like an inventory like that. We don't like looking at ourselves like that. We don't like looking so deeply into our thoughts and our fears. And so we stay busy, 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 so we don't have to look. So we don't have to do that inflection, that reflection, that introspective, that looking at my heart. I don't want to do that, so I stay busy because it's painful when I do that. But God knows what I need, and we need to meet with Him. And that's why it's important to come to worship. And we don't come for what we get out of it, but brothers and sisters, we get so much out of worship that we many times don't even realize. God is meeting our deepest needs. And so when we come together in our weekly gathering, He promises to be with us, and by His grace, to restore the broken and to fellowship those who once were cut off. And so much so that when we leave this place, at the end of the service, when the last amen is said, the last hand is shaken, the last back is patted, the last hug is given, when we say our goodbyes to one another and we head back to our homes, we have been blessed in ways we cannot imagine. And we can know that we have been reconciled to God. We have been rebound to God. We gather for worship because it is here that God meets our deepest needs. And the burning bush stands for reconnecting with God. That's what Moses did. He reconnected with God. But that's not all. There's one other thing. God summons us to Him, to worship Him, and then He sends us out to meet the needs of others. He calls us together to worship Him, and then He sends us out to minister to others. He summons us, and then he sends us. Look what happened to Moses. He turns aside from his routine to see this strange sight, a bush that's burning and not consumed. And when he gets there, God is there. "Take off your sandals," God says, "for the place where you're standing is holy ground." It was a place where Moses stood in the presence of God himself. So Moses did take off his sandals. And I know, I can see Moses. He's not just standing there, you know. I don't see Moses doing this, do you? I see Moses getting down on his knees, maybe even putting his face to the ground. He's scared because God is talking to him. He's scared. He's afraid. He is in the presence of the Creator of the universe, Almighty God himself. "Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground." He finds that God is there. And then God says to him, "The cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them." And now the other shoe drops. Okay? You know how that is? You wait for the other shoe to drop. Well, it's dropping now. Verse 10, "Now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh." To Pharaoh? I ran away from Pharaoh 40 years ago. Yeah. "I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt." "But Lord, 40 years ago I tried that. It didn't work." You know, we tried that here years ago. This door knocking, this passing out tracts, this inviting people. We tried that, all that. It didn't work. God says, "I am sending you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I'm sending you to bring my people out of Egypt. I am sending you." Now, does Moses have the want to get it done? No. He has the "I don't want to." He doesn't have the want to. Isaiah, when he hears the cry, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Who will go? Who will go? And Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me," in his vision. Okay, great. Moses, go. "Oh, Lord, I have a speech problem. I'm not able to do this. I can't talk to people." He may have stuttered. It's possible. Some say that they believe that Moses had a speech impediment, that he stuttered when he talked. And God says, "Who is it that makes the mouth of man? Who is it that makes the seeing eye and the speaking tongue, the hearing ear? Who is it that makes man? But don't you worry about it. Here comes your brother Aaron." Now, Moses hadn't seen that man in years. And here comes Aaron on that day. Isn't that amazing? Here comes Aaron, and they're reconciled. And God says, that, you know, they're just thrilled to see each other and all this. And God says, "Now, Aaron will speak for you. I will tell you what to say. You will tell him what to say. He will be your mouth. You got any other excuses? Lord, look, I'm just not worthy to do this. Won't you please send somebody else? Won't you please send somebody else?" You know, when we come to worship, God sends us out from worship on a mission. And it's not an impossible mission. It's possible. He empowers us. He provides us the means by which to get the job done. He sends us out. When we come together in worship, then God sends us out. There's going to be a coming, but there also has to be a going. Jesus said to the disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He does issue that invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." But then he says, for us to go and tell them. He says in Revelation, "The Spirit and the bride say, come." For the bride to say, "Come," the bride has to go. The bride has to go to where the people are in order to say, "Come." In order to say, "Come to the feast," we have to go out to where the people are. We have to go. So first we come to God, and then God sends us on our mission. And that's the way it was with Moses, and that's the way it is with you and with me. we end our worship by God sending us out to serve. That's how worship should always end. And that's the ultimate issue. God says, come be with me for a while. And then he says, now go, I'm sending you. And, you know, if that doesn't happen, then worship has been cut short. We've not fulfilled our purpose for being here. If we don't go out and try to share with others, try to bring others to God, then we really haven't finished the job that we've been brought in to do. We must go, not just because worship is over, because we'll gather again next week, but we must go and try to bring others with us. We go and we call others to come see the burning bush. We call others to find the real purpose in life, the real meaning of life. We call people to come meet God and learn what God wants from them and what He has promised them if they will believe and be faithful. We share that message. We reach out to people. That's why during the offering, when we give our money, we don't just give what we have, we give what we are. Like those people in Thessalonica did in 2 Corinthians 8:5, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave to us by the will of God. First they gave themselves to the Lord, and then their money followed. And that's the key. Money doesn't follow well if a person hasn't given themselves to the Lord. Have you noticed that? They find it hard to let go of even a dollar bill if they haven't given themselves to the Lord. But when they've given themselves to the Lord, it's easy to write a check for a lot of dollars. It's easy to put in a whole wad of green into the plate. If I've first given myself, my money will follow. That's the thing that we need to realize. If we give ourselves, worship is not for us, but we are blessed by worshiping. Worship is for God, and yet He is the one who gives to the worshipers. Isn't that something? We give ourselves, we give our worship, we give our money, we give our time, our lives, our energy, our effort to God, and God is the one who is praised, and God is the one who is worshiped, but then we're the ones who receive the blessing. Isn't that something how that works? Somebody says, I don't get anything out of worship. Well, then you're missing a point. You're getting more out of worship than you realize. You're drawing strength, you're drawing encouragement, you're drawing God's energy, God's power, simply by being here and worshiping Him. But if you first give yourself to the Lord, you open a channel for blessings that you can't even begin to comprehend. Remember, God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for your life. And it's not simply to get you to come to church every week. It's to get you out of church and into the world to share the gospel with lost people. He wants you to be an instrument of His peace. He wants you to be a vessel of service. And He wants you to be a channel of blessing. You and I are not the only ones who need to know about His healing grace, are we? We're not. There's a whole world of lost people out there. There are wounded people all around us. And God wants us to be in their midst. He wants us to be among them, just like Jesus was among the people. And that way, through us, God will heal them. Now, you may be a little reluctant about this, and we've already talked about the fact that Moses certainly was. He did not feel adequate. A little time barefooted in front of a burning bush, he thought did not qualify him for freeing the other people, the people that were trapped in bondage. And he was correct if it was to be by his power. A little time in front of the presence of God itself is not enough if the power depends on me. But it didn't depend on Moses, did it? And so Moses cried out to God, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it," Exodus 4:13. And you and I might feel the same way. Let somebody else go out and tell these folks. Let somebody else invite them. Let somebody else make the effort. I don't feel qualified. You may feel that way. But you see, it is you that God has chosen. Did you know that? You're the one. You, not me, not the elders, not the deacons, not the Sunday school teachers. You. You are the one that God has chosen to do this job. And today, if you will leave this place and all through this next week, You are going to meet people. People that God loves. People whom God wants to bless. And He will use you to do it if you will let Him. In our weekly gatherings, God plans to meet you here and to meet your needs. He also intends to send you out to the place to meet others and to help meet their needs. And when you think about it, you can't afford not to come to church, but then you can't afford not to leave either. Are you listening? You cannot afford not to come to church, but then you cannot afford not to leave either. Now, don't get the idea that you can find a good reason not to leave. Moses tried, but he failed. In Exodus 3, verses 10 through 15, follow along with me. Exodus 3, 10 through 15. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. See, Moses realized, even in front of the presence of God, that didn't make him an eloquent man. I'm not a smooth talker. I'm not a good speaker. In fact, he says, I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, Who's made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of someone else, hand whomsoever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. That verse torments me. That phrase bothers me. It doesn't bother me that God got angry. It bothers me that God can get angry at me. He got angry at Moses. Moses! I don't stand a toe with Moses. I don't stand in Moses' shadow. And God got angry with Moses. He can get angry with me. I don't want God angry with me. Do you want God angry with you? No, sir. No, sir. Listen, we won't even get into a pig pen with an angry pig. I don't want to have God angry at me. But God was angry at Moses. His anger was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he also is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you will speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth. And I will teach you what you shall do. Moses tried and Moses failed to come up with a reason why he didn't have to go. Lord, I'm so glad to meet you. I'm so glad to be reconnected with you. I'm so glad to come and worship you. But please don't send me. Please don't make me go do this. I can't do it. And God says, I know you can't do it. You tried 40 years ago and you couldn't do it then. And you can't do it now. But I will be with you. Do you think that God won't be with you as you try to reach out to people? Do you think God won't be with you as you go to the inconvenience of trying to help somebody in need, preparing a meal, writing a card, making a call, better yet, making a visit? Do you think God will not be with you and help you? Oh, my friend, think again. The same God who comes here and is with us when we worship will go with us when He sends us out to rescue His people. That same God that is with us here will be with us when we leave. And He will help us. God is sending you to do the same thing that He sent Moses to do, to rescue His people. And so we have a job to do. Yeah, every one of us have had a burning bush. Every single one of us, bunches of burning bushes. Every one of us have had our burning bush, every one of us. And God has called us to Him. And you obeyed His gospel. You came to Him. You reconnected with Him. So you've had your burning bush. Now it's time to go and help God's people find life, find God again themselves. It's time to go and help others find their burning bush. It's time to go out and bring others to Jesus before it's too late, because life is going to end quickly. So let's do what God wants us to do. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a child of God. And if you're not faithful to the Lord, whatever your situation, you need to make things right with God while you can. If you're subject to the invitation, we encourage and invite you to come right now while we stand and while we sing.
And bear your burden, carry all your load. Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to.